Good day, and welcome to the B&F Industries, Inc. Q2 2021 earnings conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I'd like to turn the conference over to Mr. Goodman, the company's general counsel. Please go ahead.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, and welcome to B&F Industries' second quarter 2021 conference call. With us today from management are Richard Horowitz, Chairman, President, and Chief Executive Officer, and Joseph Molino, Chief Operating Officer and Chief Financial Officer. Before we get started, I'd like to remind you that any forward-looking statements discussed on today's call by our management, including those related to the company's future performance and outlook, are based upon the company's historical performance and current plans, estimates, and expectations, which are subject to various risks and uncertainties, including but not limited to risks related to the global outbreak of COVID-19 and other public health crises, exposure to fluctuations in energy prices, debt and debt service requirements, borrowing and compliance with covenants under our credit facility, disruption in the global capital and credit markets, the strength of the retail economy in the United States and abroad, risks associated with sourcing from overseas, importation delays, customer concentration, impairment of long-lived assets and goodwill, unforeseen inventory adjustments or change in the purchasing patterns, market acceptance of products, acquisition of businesses, regulatory environment, and information technology system failures and attacks, and those other risks and uncertainties described in the reports and statements filed by the company with the SEC, including, among others, as described in our most recent annual report on Form 10-K, our quarterly reports on Form 10-Q, and our other filings. These risks could cause the company's actual results for future periods to differ materially from those expressed in any forward-looking statement made by or on behalf of the company. Forward-looking statements speak only as of the date on which they are made, and the company undertakes no obligation update publicly or revise any forward-looking statements, whether as a result of new information, future developments, or otherwise. And with that, I would now like to turn the call over to Richard Horowitz. Good morning, Richard.
Good morning, Rich. Thank you so much, and good morning, everybody. Thank you all for joining us this morning on our Q2 conference call. I hope you're all doing well under these incredibly continually difficult times. The vaccine rollout, which we all believe is helping control this deadly disease, is underway, and I hope those who have not yet received one do so, and your loved ones as well, and that the Delta variant doesn't affect us more than it is already. We are still working, and P&F, we are still working hard to get past these harsh effects of this global pandemic. Several current and potential customers have yet still to open their doors for visitors. But, you know, we're seeing little cracks in the light with that, so hopefully that'll get better as time goes on. And finally, our thoughts and prayers are with all during this time, and just all stay please safe. I'd like to direct your attention to the company's press release that was released earlier today, which includes the company's June 30, 2021 balance sheet, statement of operations, cash flows, and discussions related to the company's 3 and 6 months fiscal 2021 results, and how it's compared to the same period last year. We believe this release should answer many of your questions. In order to make better use of everyone's time, yet to be mindful of the purpose of this conference call, I would like to note the following two items, as usual. First, as we have done for several previous conference calls, and this has become our standard practice, we will move directly to a question and answer session and not restate what is already in this morning's press release. Secondly, please be aware that we only will be answering questions relating directly to the company's results of operations and financial condition. We must insist that you adhere to this procedure. Management will not be entertaining any questions that go beyond the scope of this call. And with that, we would be happy to answer any pertinent questions anybody may have at this time. Operator?
Thank you. If you'd like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, you may press star 1 to ask a question. Our first question comes from Andrew Shapiro with Longdale Capital.
I have several questions. I'll ask a few and back out into the queue to allow others in to ask their questions, but then come back to us, please. So for what part of the second quarter, if any, was the company able to conduct on-site visits with current or prospective customers? And additionally, since the end of the second quarter until currently, has the company been able to conduct further on-site visits to start helping work forward, for example, in your OEM and PTG areas, and in particular also in aerospace, where you have said on-site visits are pretty essential to move things forward?
Yeah, well, Andrew, we can't give you an exact day when we visited people, but we were visiting some customers during the second quarter, and I would say nothing has really changed in that regard, even as we speak now, a month plus into the third quarter. We're hearing rumblings, though it hasn't happened yet, but we're hearing rumblings of some of our customers closing down again. In terms of visitation, not business, but visitation. But when they come up and we can do it, we will do it. I mean, we're on constant touch with our customers all over the place, telephonically, and where we can go, we do. And specifically in Chicago, in our PTG area, we have been able to see some customers. But the PTG customers are really not seeing us so much. The big thing is we're keeping our regular customers. That's not the issue. It's our new customers that we want to keep going, and that we have not had much success with yet. George, do you want to add to that, Joe?
Yeah, no, Richard, I would agree completely, and that not only goes for PTG and OEM and gears, but aerospace as well. Most of the aerospace companies are still either not taking visitors, or the engineers, who are the people you work with a great deal on new opportunities, are just not in the building either. So it's certainly still hampering us. I don't know that it's improved a whole lot since the last conference call, to be honest.
Yeah, we did hear Andrew that Boeing and a few of our other customers were going to start right around now, but now we hear that it's being delayed.
Right. Okay. But internally at PNF, you don't have any policies or procedures that are prohibiting your people to go out if the customers will take the meeting. Is that right?
Absolutely correct.
Correct.
Okay. And have you been able to make any headway at all in terms of visitation in Europe, or is that completely shut down?
It's worse than America.
Yeah, I would agree, okay. Richard. It's actually much worse.
Okay. And do you have an estimate? It was just starting last quarter, but do you have an estimate of the percent of the PNF workforce presently vaccinated with the first shot or fully vaccinated? And have you initiated or considered initiating financial incentives or bonuses for employees who get vaccinated or even moved to the point that other larger companies have done of making mandates for vaccination?
Yeah, we have offered in the past, maybe even up to 2 months ago or something like that, incentives for people, and we didn't really get much. Right now, we're in the middle of gathering, actually, the count in our subs of who is not vaccinated at this point. At PNF Corporate, everybody is vaccinated, but that's the right. That's the tail wagging the dog. That's the tail wagging right. the dog. And we're in the middle of that right now. And I would say within the next couple of days, we'll have that totally in. And then we are exploring legally what we can and cannot do. You know, we're dealing with different states, so different states may have different rules. But, it's on the forefront of our agenda of things to do. We're considering all those options, at this time.
And Florida in particular, as a state, has had a huge spike up. And has that have you experienced within the Florida pneumatic workforce there greater absenteeism and incidents of people getting COVID, or it impacting your operations down there at all?
As I said, we're in the middle of putting together the group of people now. We just really started focusing on it a couple of weeks ago, but I can tell you that we've been, to my knowledge, we've been very lucky that we really have not had more than random cases of employees with COVID at this point.
Okay. And where do the operations stand with respect to supply chain disruptions? And have the intermittent shortages of inventory that you referred to in your press release caused sales to be lost to another customer or simply deferred? And what are you doing to mitigate the effects and your estimate of the cost to do so?
Yeah, I'll let Joe go into more detail, but it's not a problem in P&F. It's a problem in this country, and I'm sure you read enough periodicals every day to know what's going on with freight and the cost of freight, the timeliness of freight. Even when freight comes into the ports here, they can be detained a week, 10 days, even 2 weeks after received before it comes out, and the cost to get them out is dramatically higher than it was even 6 months ago. So getting product, obviously, from overseas is a tremendous challenge. But the short answer is we do not believe that anything that we're short, we get it within a reasonable time, and we haven't lost any sales. We definitely have not lost any sales to any other customer. That's not even an issue because everybody's in the same boat. But sometimes it's deferred, and we double up or triple up 2 weeks later or 3 weeks later or whatever. Joe, you want to give more color to that?
Yeah, I mean the areas where the disturbances in overseas receipts would be impacting mostly the Home Depot business, the Amazon business, the AirCat business, and in those cases, we're working through a couple of levels of distribution. So, we're selling to people who aren't holding inventory, a great deal of inventory in many cases. So, if we don't get the sale 1 week or 1 month, we'll get it the next month. And people are holding more than a few weeks worth of inventory. So while our internal sales numbers are bouncing around a little bit, the ultimate customers are not really seeing any disruption to our knowledge.
Mm-hmm. And are you seeing any improvement in this situation today as we speak versus what you saw, let's say, 3 months ago at the beginning of the second quarter?
Absolutely not.
I would say actually worse.
I would say worse at this point. We're handling it. Hmm. We're dealing with it. We're okay, but it is worse than it was. It's more challenging. How's that?
Right. Have you been forced to reduce any CapEx plans or step back your focus on new products or as a result of the issues?
No. Joe can attest to that also, but we have a very strong cash flow position. So that's not really an issue. But, Joe, you can add on if you want to that.
Yeah, I mean, we have tremendous access to capital and plenty of availability, and we have no impact on our ability to finance anything as a result of those shortages.
Right. And with respect to new products, and then I'll back out, can you provide an update and some more color on your development of cordless models and the types of non-automotive applications for which our company is developing cordless models of its tools in each of Hi-Tech and Florida Pneumatic, which you referred to on the last conference call?
Yeah, George, Joe, I'll let you chime in, but Andrew, you can keep going. There's nobody else in the queue as of now, so you can keep going.
Okay.
Yeah, Andrew, development continues. On the Florida Pneumatic side, the cordless options are aerospace related. Unfortunately, we have been limited in what we can show people, though we're moving along on those development programs. On the Hi-Tech side, the development process is a little more complicated, and it's taking a little longer than we had thought. As we've had some test units, we've sent to some select customers for testing, and we continue to evaluate and modify our offering there. So they continue, but we have not seen any revenue impact yet because we're not really finished with development in the Hi-Tech case, and in the Florida case, unfortunately, as we said, we're having difficulty getting those meetings to share those tools. They will happen, but not a lot of as much progress as we'd like in the last 3 months.
Now, it sounds like these efforts are being done separately in each location. How do you have how you process the sharing of the intellectual knowledge?
How do we process? I'm not sure how to answer.
I mean, well, how are you doing intellectual knowledge sharing, I guess, between the two locations? Are they totally separate development paths? Is this like battery technology?
And where it makes sense, they share knowledge. Where it doesn't, you know, they don't. As you know, we've got just an example. We've got some silencing technology that we purchased along with the AirCat acquisition years ago, and you know that information is shared readily among the engineers between the two operations. You know, where it makes sense, and there really isn't any secrets. The technical people and the executives among the companies all know each other and you know speak regularly to each other. So I don't really get involved in that, but everybody's aware of the tech that we own. And if they feel there's a need, they don't even need to call me. They just call the other executive or the other technical person, and the knowledge is freely shared. So there's no impediment to it. And there's no formal way of it being shared. It's just kind of an automatic. You know, it's tribal knowledge within the company and shared that way.
And what's your prospective time range in which these products might be introduced for sale?
Well, on the Florida side, they're partially introduced, and you know, there's some additional refinement going on. I would say in the next 6 months, I'd start to see some sales, I would expect, from both ends.
Right. Okay. I would agree. Andrew, there are some other people on the call now, so if you want to step out.
Oh, great. I'll back out and refresh my list, but please come back.
Okay. Okay, thanks. Go ahead, operator.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Ken Fell with Bell Capital Management.
Hi, good morning, guys. Thanks for the call. Really appreciate it.
Good morning.
In your release, you talked about on May 13th there was a ransomware attack at one of the company's subsidiaries. How long did that go on for? And did you actually end up paying some ransom in relationship to that?
You know, Ken, I don't know what else to add to what was said already in the press release. We told everybody that in the press release we incurred a $288,000 total expense relating to the attack. The duration of it was less than 2 weeks. I would say 10 days to 2 weeks, something like that. And at this point, you know, our Florida Pneumatic subsidiary where it occurred, everything is operational. There's been no material impact on anything regarding revenue or gross margins at Florida with this. And unfortunately, the cost of it was a little under $300,000, but there's nothing more to add to that story.
Okay, so I can take from that you didn't pay any ransom.
I'm sorry, we have trouble hearing you, Ken. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. I can take from what you're just saying, Richard, that you didn't pay any ransom in relationship to that.
I didn't say that. I said we gave you all the information that we legally can do, and we were very explicit. I don't know what the difference is.
Okay.
It cost the company $288,000.
Yeah, I was just saying that almost $300,000 is I consider it pretty material to a company
that
size.
It is. Most questionable, it most certainly is. But you know, it's we're not the only ones doing that, having this problem. So it's unfortunate. But yes, of course it was material. Yeah, of course.
So I also, why was there no 8K issued telling us about the attack?
Why there was what?
Why there was no 8K informing shareholders and other participants.
I can address that. And the attack, and Rich Goodman will jump in if I don't have the facts right. The attack happened within 24 or 48 hours of the release of our first quarter Q. So we did include in the Q, I believe it was in subsequent event footnote, that announcement. So given the timing and the fact that we were releasing in 48 hours, we chose to include it in the Q and not in a separate K, 8K. And Rich, do I have the facts right there?
Yes, the timing is right. Yes.
Okay, I'll ask you at the queue. I did not see it in the queue. I went back and looked at it, because I thought
it's
it was
there.
There, but
it's
there?
It's there, Ken. You can reread it.
Okay.
It was both in the MD&A and in the subsequent event footnote in the queue.
Okay. I'll take a look at that then. Appreciate that. Now, Richard, can you maybe talk about mergers and acquisitions? Are you guys actively looking at things to purchase?
Absolutely. I would say that we always are looking, but we've intensified our search in the last 6 to 9 months, actually. And yes, we're in the middle of looking for things all the time. Nothing to report, and when there is, of course, we will let you and everybody else know. But absolutely, we're doing that pretty much every day.
Great. Richard, I'm interested in your and what you're seeing out there in regards to sellers' pricing expectations. Are people still expecting a lot of money for So is it,
I mean, look,
is the bid offer?
There's always companies that are on the bad side of things, and they may be looking to sell to get out from under. And we've seen some of those, but we haven't noticed pricing changed in a good way for us at all. Actually, in some cases, it's gotten a little higher, what we found.
Gotcha. So the bid offer.
But that's not really so much standing in our way. If we feel it's a good company, a good fit for our company, we continue to pursue. So.
Okay. Great. Thanks, Richard. Now, a couple of years ago, you guys purchased the Gears, I believe it was two companies.
Yes.
How are you satisfied with the progress with their performance and maybe even the integration that's going on?
We're satisfied with our progress. It's nothing earth shattering yet, because we haven't been able to see new customers and all that. But when we do, and the few that we have a very, very good batting average getting them as customers. We expect if things were more normal, we would have been having a much better return. Still good, but not as good as it was. Joe, you want to add to that?
Yeah, the only thing I'd add is, we really were combining three businesses. We had our own gear business, which existed to satisfy both needs internally as well as external, and we moved into a larger facility and then brought the two acquisitions in. So we really had to combine three businesses, which, while we're related, not certainly identical, and as we discussed in the last year's first, second, even third quarter Q, it took a while to get all that, but everything's fully integrated and running relatively smoothly. And as Richard said, the frustration now is we would have been farther along if not for the pandemic, because there were tremendous customer opportunities that we unfortunately have not been able to fully exploit. But they're not going anywhere. They'll be there when we can get out into the field.
Great. Appreciate that those comments, and I will back out and let somebody else have a chance. Thank you.
Thanks for your time, Jim.
Thank you. Again, that's star one if you'd like to ask a question. Our next question comes from Henry Dubrow.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Henry.
Morning.
Supplementing the discussion about the ransomware expenses, does the company maintain any type of cybersecurity insurance?
We did not have insurance for this.
Okay. My next question relates to, in the second quarter, you mentioned compensation increased, and you said including accrued performance-based performance bonuses, specific bonuses. What type of departments were their bonuses accrued for? Is it at an operating level? Is it executive management? What type of divisions were these bonuses recorded for?
Joe, you can answer that question.
We we accrue bonuses really across the board, given the results and results in relation to expectation. So, it's throughout the company, but not necessarily everywhere. But to the extent there are results that exceed expectations, we make an accrual. If we're missing expectations, we don't. So I can't really give you a perfect answer other than to say where, if things are going well, you can anticipate there's some bonus being accrued. I can't get any more specific than that.
Okay, so the second quarter had a operating loss of approximately $500,000 before the forgiveness income. So when you compute the performance bonus, is it based upon the operating income before the PPP or after this non-operational income?
Yeah, the PPP is pulled out of every bonus accrual calculation. No one's getting a bonus because we got a PPP loan, if that's your question.
That was my question.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, thank you for your answers.
You're welcome.
You're welcome. Thanks. Stay well, Henry.
Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question comes from Andrew Shapiro with Longdale Capital.
Hi, thank you. A few follow-ups on the ransomware. You referred to remediation being complete with respect to, quote, all critical Florida pneumatic information. Is there information still locked away from company control?
No.
Okay. And is the $288,000 in SG&A all of the costs that we can such that we could hope this is a non-recurring event, or are there expenses occurred so far in this quarter and expected in the present quarter and in the future? For example, we're now going to pay for cybersecurity insurance going forward, or there are other lingering costs that were involved in the disruption that, third quarter's not been reported, but you have incurred already.
I'll let Joe answer that, Andrew. But the short answer and the 40,000-foot answer is the only expenses that we will have going forward are the very regular operational expenses in terms of, security, cyber maintenance, and things like that. Checking on a regular basis, more updated, more effective controls and all that stuff. And I don't think it's de minimis in terms of earnings in the company, if that's what you're asking. But Joe, you can add on to that.
As you can imagine, with any event such as the attack we had, it gives you an opportunity to take stock of things everywhere and mm-hmm. Make sure the systems and security you've got in place is what you think you've got and what you need. So I would say that certainly we've stepped things up a little bit in terms of taking a comprehensive look at things. But I would agree with Richard that I don't see these costs going forward from anything we're doing as, particularly material to the overall results.
So the May attack itself, the 288, that is the containment cost, and there's nothing, let's say, that was being paid in July that we got another $50,000 hit.
No. Could there be like a random bill or somewhere? It could be, but it couldn't be very much money. We think that number should capture the vast majority of it, if not
okay.
all of it.
Okay. And then going into the segments here a little bit, in high tech, the OEM and PTG subsegments, obviously, they had their gains from the prior years, et cetera, but they were down sequentially from just last quarter. Could you give additional color on this? Is it seasonality? Is there something else going on? Is the trend back up as we move out of the pandemic here?
The company is doing dramatically better than it did last year. I'll let Joe give you more color, but go ahead, Joe. Why don't you continue?
Yeah, I think you know, in terms of comparing to last year, we went into 2020 with a lot of backlog that we didn't have last year. We went into even beginning of 2021 with a nice backlog. And I think the combination of the market not coming back as fast as we'd like and the fact that we can't get everywhere has been a little bit of an issue, as well as I think the complexity of some of the things we're building in the second quarter, which utilize a fair amount of outside services as well, has complicated our ability to get as much out the door as we'd like. But so, you know, the orders have probably been a little stronger than maybe the sales are showing for Q2. Mm-hmm. But I think that the opportunities are still there, and we're optimistic that we're going to have some sequential growth here, you know, shortly.
And the and the margins have grown dramatically since last year.
That's good.
Dramatically.
And with 1 month in, did some of those orders ship, and you know, you already know that you're booking some of this revenue in here for the current Q3?
I'm not sure I understand your question.
You've talked about how the sales levels in Q2 did not really reflect the strength of the orders that had been booked in Q2, and that there are some complexity or third-party, you know, participation needed to complete the projects that basically carry the projects over. Is it carrying it over into Q4, or is it just carrying it over into our present quarter, and you're seeing visibility on that being the stuff moves?
Yeah, I would say it's carrying it over into late Q3 and into Q4. So, longer run, I feel good about it, but I think we're still working through some of that stuff. Some of these things are pretty long lead time.
Okay. And can you discuss your new products and experience so far and the new high-tech products that have been introduced? I think you had several you referenced in the press release, but, you know, the press release doesn't necessarily give you a chance to provide more color on it as this call might. So can you expand?
The big one that we're excited about that we had great results with in Q2 is our line of new impact wrenches that are designed to go directly after Ingersoll Rand and Chicago Pneumatic, and also we believe are incredibly well positioned for increased oil and gas activity, as well as hopefully some infrastructure work that we would hope would begin, relatively soon after hopefully this bill gets passed. So we've had some nice success with that product line in Q2, probably I would say our biggest success since the introduction of the Magnum Impact products. So, yeah, we're very excited about that. So, I mean, I would highlight that as one thing.
Okay. And in Florida Pneumatic, while the company's spray gun tools continue to enjoy year-over-year increases you've cited, are these sales running at higher levels than last quarter, Q1, or are they kind of leveling off?
Yeah, Joe.
I don't know that I can tell you that they've increased from Q1. They're certainly strong and stronger than maybe a year ago. I can't speak to sequential quarter growth in that, other than to say they've still been very strong.
Okay. And were these new products you introduced, or they were like sitting on the shelves or in the design, you know, they were there and they just obviously took off because of the pandemic demand for sanitization and such?
Yeah, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, these were not designed for a pandemic world. They were really designed for painting, but given their specific designs, are easily converted or just flat out used for the spraying of disinfectant. So they were not specifically designed. Now, having said that, I don't know if the engineers have tweaked them a little bit to be a little bit more targeted towards disinfectant. We're tweaking those things all the time, and while I can't speak specifically, I wouldn't be surprised if we haven't made a few modifications to better suit them to that application.
Yeah, and have you adapted your marketing and promotion to like step on the gas on this opportunity and to market and promote the product for this new market?
Yeah, as we I think discussed, the only spray gun products we have, for the most part, are for Home Depot, and the marketing is up to them, not up to us.
Got it. Well,
I don't know. I don't know that we have, and I could be wrong about this, but I don't know that we have a suite of spray guns for the industrial market outside of Home Depot.
Would it make any sense to slap a label on it like that and market it as such?
Well, we're not allowed to just slap a label on Depot's product. That's theirs. I'm sure the engineers are working on something. I don't know. Those are very different channels of distribution. I don't know what our access is to those kinds of distribution channels for, an industrial spray gun. But it's a good question.
I think airlines would want it. The movie theaters, airlines.
Well, those guys are already buying those through Home Depot. That's a good question. I'm sure we're doing something. It's not really a market we're in or have been in, but we're looking at it.
Yeah, and by the way, we're almost going hand to mouth when it comes to spray guns. Whatever we have, basically Home Depot is ordering that and more. So
awesome. And I'm assuming they're placing. I'm assuming they're placing the spray gun now in the disinfecting aisle, not just in the paint aisle.
I couldn't tell you, I'm sure you're right.
That would be a good guess. Yeah.
I'm sure you're
okay.
Right.
Now, have you also, you've talked in the last quarter in particular, but in the past as well, that you've seen channels, the Amazon channel, grow very nicely. And has that channel growth continued at Amazon?
Yes.
Yes, we're very happy with Amazon growth and have expectations to do even better. It's been a real focus for us.
Good. And have you seen channels other than Amazon exhibit increases yet?
For example, the air...
What? I understand.
You mean for air... Go ahead.
Go ahead.
Just so I'm clear, is this for AirCat you're talking about?
Well, I think you sell your products through other channels above and beyond Amazon. I don't know if it's catalog or
You mean for AirCat?
I guess, yes.
Yes, we have quite a few channels that we sell the AirCat product through. The AirCat, Amazon is by far growing the best there, but the rest of the channel is doing reasonably well also.
Right.
But the biggest growth is Amazon, sure.
And AirCat, in AirCat, you introduced some new products too. How are they going?
It's been a while since we've had a major introduction. I think we've had some minor introductions. The major change which we made has to be going back a year and a half. Those products are well established in the channel and doing quite well. There have been some minor tweaks since then, but nothing real nothing significant.
Okay. I have some more questions.
There's somebody else on the line, so you can keep going.
All right, I'll go. All right, great. Can you quantify a bit the size and also the status of the tax refunds you had expected? Have they arrived, and what's the size, or what do you expect to get in?
Yeah, Joe.
I know we're expecting one more. I think we've received the larger one. But I don't think the one to come is material. I think we've gotten the largest one so far, but if one of my staff could remind me of that before Andrew gets off, I can give him a more specific answer. I do know one more is coming, but I cannot remember the magnitude of it.
That's
and the ones that, and if you'd ask your staff if the ones that came in Q2 or if they came in July are going to be a Q3 thing.
It's a Q2 thing.
Okay. Now on aerospace, the second quarter by some respects was considered by many to be the trough of the pandemic. And it appears to be the case in many of your lines of business. But aerospace was down year over year, and I note that it was lower in Q3 last year from Q2 as well. Can you give some color on if a time lag in this sector exists and that Q3 of last year, which was lower than Q2, is what you would consider the trough, or is there just substantial lumpiness and larger orders that just influence things?
I don't, I'll let Joe answer for the most part, but we really don't have the window into what's going on with our aerospace customers for the most part. There has been a little bit of life, sporadically though, nothing on a regular basis, but we've had some of our customers giving us pretty nice orders in the last month to 6 weeks, but it comes and goes, and it's just in general a very depressed industry as of now. Boeing announced, I believe, that they're up to making, where they were making four 737s a month, now they're starting to ramp up to 14 a month. And just so a frame of reference, before the pandemic hit, and before the 737 debacle really hit, they were making 44 planes a month. So I wouldn't get excited with 14, you know. So it's not a good situation there.
Let me just add this. We went into 2020 with a very, very large backlog in aerospace. And that backlog carried us, obviously, in Q1, well into Q2. And then, as you know, everything shut down at the end of Q1. So Q3 was really the bottom in sales, not really the bottom in orders. The bottom in orders was really Q2. So, yeah, there was a lag there. And then we started to come out of it a little bit the fourth quarter of last year, and that is slowly continued. So
very slowly.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And
I will add, in case you're going to ask a question, we're not losing it. We didn't lose any business on any other vendor. It's just a matter of their own issues, you know, in that industry. We are
right.
Still the vendor of choice.
Now, on a previous call, you discussed how you have the full suite of all your tools that could serve aerospace, from either Florida Pneumatic and Jiffy or High Tech and Pneumatics, really ready to present to both Boeing and Airbus once you're able to get into their facilities again. And you had an appointment, I think you even said, that you had with Airbus in the pandemic, like, shut that off. Is that appointment for Airbus, like, back on the calendar yet, whether it's a month or two from now or it's still to be calendared?
No, it's not. We have no indication of when we're getting the Airbus. Yeah.
Okay. And in terms of Boeing, have you been able to go into any of the facilities or to engage in discussions about your new products that you kind of want to be able to put in front of them?
Yeah, sporadically, very sporadically.
Okay.
Right, Joe?
The only, we're allowed into Boeing, but unfortunately it's just to deal with current product. As I said, the engineers and the teams that we normally speak to of engineering are not in the building, so there's no point in going to Boeing with a new tool. There's just nobody to show it to yet.
Okay. But you're ready now, where before it was like getting ready.
Aware. No, we have stuff we want to show them. We've got an Airbus tool we're excited about. We've got a Boeing tool that we're excited about. But, again, we can't get
nobody
in front of anybody.
Nobody talks.
Okay. And has the military and defense side, the other aerospace side, you talked, I think, about another airframe or aircraft manufacturer, even on the commercial side. Have you been making any headway in those, or on defense and military? Are those on programs that are scaling down or scaling up?
Joe?
There's no scaling down of anything in the military. I would say military's probably been a little bit more consistent. Can you hear me now?
I can.
Hello?
Yeah.
Yes, I
can
hear you.
Okay.
He's saying that the military is doing slightly better than the regular commercial aerospace, and that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And given the strong balance sheet and income in Q2 that didn't decrease much and the green shoots you're seeing, has the board already met for this quarter, or when is it set to meet, where you have represented you regularly discuss the reinstatement of the dividend, now with the PPP loan out of the way and a debt-free balance sheet? I'm wanting to know kind of the status and your thoughts about getting that reinstated.
Yeah, we've talked about it. We have not met in the last, since our annual meeting. Of course, we speak often, but we haven't had a formal meeting. And we have one scheduled shortly. And that will be on the agenda as it is every quarter. It depends, as you know, Andrew, I don't have to tell you. You're aware of this as much as we are. It's a function of a lot of things. The financial condition, which is very good with us, results of our operations and our forecasts and capital requirements, et cetera, et cetera. But as soon as there is anything to say on it, we will make an announcement, but I can tell you it is on the forefront. And we realize how important it is, though it's not a dramatic number all the time, we realize how important it is to reinstate it, and we want to reinstate it when the time is right for us. We will notify you and everybody else.
Okay, great, thank you. And I think that's it. Thank you for enhancing the space or the descriptions, et cetera, on the press release. The one final question, and I had asked before if it might be included in the press release, or if the company's policy might change, which would be to put the 10-Q out in advance of the call, what's the total share count that's going to be on that 10-Q cover there?
Joe may have.
I don't have that. While Rich looks that up, just to
roughly 3.
Circle
1
back.
Million. Roughly 3.1 million, but we'll get you an exact number.
Just to answer your question about the taxes. We received about $300,000 refund in January, and we're still working on the return for 2020, but very preliminarily I would certainly expect another refund of some sort. I don't know what the government's timing on refunds this year given the pandemic, but maybe in the fourth quarter we'd receive another refund, but I couldn't give you a number because we haven't finished the return, but I'm certainly expecting something in Q4.
Yeah. And also for the board meeting is the possible reauthorization. That doesn't mean you would step into the market immediately, but is the possible reauthorization of your what was very nicely accretive and would be very nicely accretive now at current prices, stock repurchase plan part of the agenda as well?
We always discuss it at our each meeting, but okay. I think right now, I think we got to walk before we run with everything.
Uh-huh.
It's going to be a balancing act as to as to if we choose to buy stock or choose to do a dividend. I don't think at this point we would do both. And I'm not sure we would do either one, but if we do, we'll do one, it'll be one or the other. It won't be both. So not right now, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Understand.
Okay, Andrew, to answer your question about the shares, it's 3,181,286.
Okay, so no change there in issuance, really. Excellent. Thank you very much.
All right, have a good day and stay safe, Andrew.
Thank you. You too.
Okay, sure. Bye-bye.
Operator?
Thank you. There are no additional questions at this time.
Okay. Thank you all for your time today on the call. And everybody, please stay safe and well. And we'll be back on our call for the Q3 in a few months. Thank you, everybody, for your time.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This concludes today's presentation. You may now disconnect.